The high portion of today's episode is brought to you by Golden Lemon.
Did you say Jack Lemon?
No, I said Golden Lemon.
Then who's Jack Lemon?
George. Hello, welcome to High and Inside. I'm Mary Beth. I'm a cannabis chemist.
And I'm her husband, Eric. I work from home. And welcome to the 12th, the 13th. We've done so many, I'm losing count.
It's episode 12.
Never mind. You said it the first time.
Yeah,
you just I knew it.
Doubted yourself as you got farther.
It wasn't really doubt. I just wanted to keep talking.
That sounds about right. We have a lot of stuff going on across a lot of levels in baseball right now. So there's the College World Series that's been ongoing. The softball College World Series is already wrapped. Congratulations to UCLA. In the men's baseball World Series of college, there was a no-hitter.
The MBWSOC?
Yeah. It rolls off the tongue. There was a no-hitter pitch by Vanderbilt against Duke to keep their super regional alive.
What is a super regional?
I think that means, like, who gets to play into the final game. I would guess that equates to the division series.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly.
Yeah. They just use different terms and they mean the same thing.
Put it in the notes. Yeah, it's the NLDS.
Right. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Southeast LDS. Anyway, yeah, so that's going on. Big exciting game there. It was the first no-hitter of a super regional ever.
That's
so
crazy.
So it's like,
and who's this? Who's the pitcher?
He was actually drafted by the Rockies last year and decided to go to Vandy instead. So he's like a true freshman, 19 years old. I think his name is Kumar Rocker.
Sure, related to John Rocker.
I had the same thought.
Or Rainn Wilson's character in The Rocker.
Probably closer to that one. Yeah, because we have to assume that is a titular character.
Right. Why would it not be? Every movie is named after somebody
reason.
In it.
Yeah, the Tooth Fairy.
Exactly.
His last name was Tooth Fairy.
Die Hard was one of the names of the German terrorists.
Ja.
Ja Die Hard.
Die. Ja, get over here.
That was pretty Arnold-y.
Yeah, it was. I'm not great at differentiating.
Yeah, but he's Austrian, which is close to Germany.
Ja. We also had what happens after these players go to college, which is the draft. That happened last week. It finished up after we finished recording. But the first pick in the draft was by the Orioles. They drafted a catcher named Adley Rutschman.
Adley Rutschman?
Yeah.
That sounds like a Downton Abbey character.
I thought it was pretty highfalutin as well,
yeah.
But he is great on both sides of the plate as a catcher. Like,
yeah.
He's has incredibly good defensive skills and is a slugger.
Would you say that the MLB draft is as predictive as, like, say, the NFL draft? Like, are the best players usually the ones picked at top, or is it just kind of a crapshoot?
It's a little more of a crapshoot than I think other drafts are. But with that said, I think that if you look back at the first picks, most of them are still operating at a very, you know, competitive level. They're probably starters, you know?
It's so weird that it happens in the middle of the season.
Yes, it is. And because, first of all, the second pick was by the Royals, and it was the first time that a father-son pairing had both been drafted in the first three picks
in the major league draft.
His name's Bobby Witt Jr. His dad's name is Bobby Witt. He was a pitcher for a number of years.
Ah.
I didn't really recognize the name.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah.
So I guess if you get drafted top three, that doesn't mean you'll be a household name as shown by Bobby Witt.
Yeah, that's, asked and answered right there.
What was, like, Trout? Where did he go?
So Trout actually fell a little farther than he probably should have.
Yeah.
And a part of that is the Diamondbacks were going to pick him at, I believe, around 9th.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that, but it was somewhere in the top 10.
Yeah.
And they were scheduled to go to watch a game of Steven Matz in New York, and it got rained out. So instead, they went to, like, one last Trout game just to, like, make sure he was who they wanted.
Yeah.
And he played really bad that day.
That's very
and
funny.
The Diamondbacks were like, man, maybe not with this Trout guy. And so he fell, I want to say, a couple spots in the draft to, like, 11th by the Angels.
Yeah.
But
I wonder
otherwise,
who the Diamondbacks picked instead.
I want to say they definitely drafted A.J. Pollock in that draft. I want to say they also drafted Paul Goldschmidt in that draft. Mm-hmm. And both of those guys are, like, incredible players.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't have either one of them anymore. But I'm pretty sure the, like, piece that I read about this said that if they had drafted Trout, the three players they would have drafted would have been those three.
Yeah.
And that would have been, like, those are still three starters in the major leagues. That would have been an incredible draft.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I guess no one could know how good he was going to be. Otherwise, he would have been the shoo-in number one pick.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah. So I don't think. I think that's another story to corroborate that it's not necessarily super productive.
Yeah.
But because of that, a couple of free agents who were on the block freed up.
I still don't quite understand this.
So a player can have one qualifying offer made to him in the length of his career by one team.
Okay.
When the team makes that offer, if the player turns it down, then there's a penalty for that player to be signed by another team. I think it is to discourage teams from trying to, like, encourage players to jump ship.
He's like a restricted free agent.
Right.
Okay.
So the Braves, who were, you know, in need of pitching help along with a lot of the contenders who wanted a shot at these two free agents who both had draft penalties attached mm-hmm. to them, waited until after the draft to, you know, take their final stabs at those two guys.
But why? But do they not get a penalty now?
Correct.
At all?
Correct.
Like, it doesn't just become you lose that draft pick next year?
Nope.
That seems crazy.
It is strange.
That doesn't seem
it
like
doesn't
much of a penalty
sense.
At all. Because you just, like, don't get them for the first third of the year.
Yes, and the players themselves miss out on, like, you know, a few million dollars.
Yeah, if I was a team, I would do that all the time. Is there, like, anti-tampering rules that's kind of like, hey, if you hold out, we'll wait for after the draft and then sign you?
I have no idea. I have to assume that those kind of things get discussed. You have to, like, think that that happens, especially because
it's really just buying the original team some negotiating time.
Right.
But if they already know they're not going to play.
Yeah.
Man, that's really weird.
I think it's kind of a strange system as well.
But if you're a team that signs one of those guys, you got to feel good about having, like, a fresh guy coming in as kind of a cavalry.
Yes.
As you start to get to the midpoint of the season and the slog gets really sloggy.
Mm-hmm. So I think that it would make sense for us to talk a little bit about the Braves-Pirates series, because I think that the Braves signing was a little bit reactionary
to
what happened. Yeah.
So what happened in the Braves-Pirates series? First of all, our last episode, we talked through the first game of the series. And the Pirates loused.
The Braves handled it pretty seemingly easily.
They hit a lot of home runs.
They did.
At opportune times.
Yes.
They scored more runs, let in less runs.
That's a,
like,
W, baby.
That's a W, baby. That's your motivational speech, just that flat of a tone pattern.
That's a W, baby.
And then they had two more games in the series. So last week, you won the battle.
Right.
But
honestly, and I've told you this since, I would not have been as confident about either of the other games where the Braves' chances were concerned as I was about that first one.
Because of pitching?
Because of the pitching matchups.
Yeah.
So it kind of exposed for good the two weakest current links in our rotation in Kevin Gausman, who had not played very well for 75% of the season, I would say.
I like to say Gausman in an Arnold voice. I don't know why.
You do it a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gausman.
I don't know what I don't know what to do except maybe repeat it back to you.
Yeah, no, like, it's just kind of like It's a call and response.
Maverickman.
Who was that?
Maverick, Goose and Maverick. I don't know. It was Gausman. A stretch.
Okay, yeah. I feel a little bit of a stretch.
Anyway. yeah, you got pretty hosed by your bats. And then the next day, Mike Foltynewicz, who missed spring training and the beginning of the season and seemingly hasn't ever really fully come back, has given up a lot of home runs so far. Also gave up a lot of home runs.
So you drop two more to the Buccos. The Pirates win the series. And then ultimately, now, I mean, who if the Braves losing the series was the catalyst for them signing Dallas Keuchel, is that not a good thing?
Oh, no arguments here. Like, yeah. I'm glad that they did what they did, and I don't know how it would have gone down otherwise if it hadn't really solidified that that's what we needed. It was a starting arm.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, the Pirates and the Braves aren't in direct contention. They may be for the wild card if both of them have seasons that shake out that way.
Yeah.
So, like, it would have been really weird if that was a divisional team that beat you. That, like, the Phillies came in and, like, smacked your butts around. And then after that, you were like, oh, let's go get a pitcher. And then the Phillies fans would be like, shit, maybe we shouldn't have beat them that bad. Like,
so
I wonder if that comes into... But the Braves had to know they wanted him from the start.
I think they were looking at both Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel all, you know, offseason and beginning of this year. And I do think that what you're talking about is relevant, because I do think that the GM of the Braves probably has to pitch to the president, you know, the people who are more responsible for the finances of the team. Hey, the Phillies have lost McCutcheon and closer. Like, they didn't get Craig Kimbrell. The Cubs did. That's out of our division. We don't even have to worry about that for a while. Let's shore up and try to do this. Like, if and we keep Keuchel from going to the Phillies, like, if that was ever a possibility. Yeah. But it's a lot of the talk was that they probably still will try to get another closer, like, at the trade deadline.
Is there anyone deriding the signing? Like, nobody is. Is there anyone that even has a take of, like, this is a bad deal?
I really have seen very little of that.
Right?
I've seen some people who are skeptical of his ability to just come in and be solid, especially because he hasn't been pitching. But a vast majority of the fan opinion was simply that they got the impression that the Braves were going to do more than they had.
Yeah.
And because they hadn't done more, they were skeptical that anything else was going
to
happen.
And there's no reason why he'd be more likely to bust as a member of the Braves. Some players come into a team and just they're not themselves for some reason.
No. Last season, I think
the only reason people were skeptical is,
like I said, starting the season late, but he also gave up a lot of hits last year.
Yeah.
Like, his ERA was a little higher last year than it was when they won the World Series.
But it's one of those things that, were like, even if he comes in and he performs poorly, you're not going to look back and be like, the Braves shouldn't have done that. It's the right move to go out and get him, and you just hope he's going to play the way you think he is.
And I think that the deal of just the rest of the season at a prorated rate and to not lock him down, it gives him an opportunity to showcase himself either to the Braves for a longer contract or to another team. And then the Braves aren't on the hook for, you know, 3-4 years.
So did he only hold out with Cleveland? Where was he before?
Oh, he was in Houston.
He was in Houston.
Yeah.
Did he only hold out with Houston because he just wanted to go somewhere else? Or did they, like, not want to give him the money?
I think he wanted a longer contract than they were willing to offer him, which, you know, you have to look back and go, like, well,
now you got a 1-year
will
deal.
He get one after this 1 year?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so sorry for beating your butt so bad that you had to go out and call your big brother to come in.
Hey, we need help.
But interestingly enough, the Pirates have and the Braves have another series coming up starting tomorrow.
Yes.
Which is weird. This is the only two times they'll play.
Yes.
And they play real close.
Mm-hmm.
And why? That seems weird, but
I don't
whatever.
Know.
It could, I don't know. If it was random, that would happen too.
Yeah.
I am. Well, so we took the series, so we can hang with you.
Mm-hmm.
I really kind of need and want. I think this is the first point of this season where I've like, the Pirates have to take this series because they've lost 7 of the last 10.
Mm.
They're now 7 games back in the division. They were hanging at around 4 for most of the year, and we're within like at times half a game or even in the wild card spot. And they have this 4-game set with the Braves coming up, and they have a 3-game set with the Marlins,
ooh,
who I've heard are a no-no, good-good, poo-poo team. And
who can be swept after we drop 2 to you guys.
Right. So yeah. If we can win, even if we can split the series and then sweep Miami. But, like, I'm counting on a sweep of a shit team, which may not happen. So
they were actually surging before the Braves played them. I was a little nervous about what was going to happen, but then
they changed their name to the Sturgeon, the Surgeon Sturgeon,
the Surgeon Sturgeons. The Braves have been kind of beaten up on them for the last year or so.
Yeah. So I really, this next series seems more important to me. I mean, it's one more game, but the Pirates just got whomped in 2 series by Milwaukee.
Yeah. That's,
and that's the division rival, and they could have really made up some ground, and it just doesn't look like we can hang with Miami at all. So we got to take wins with Milwaukee at all. So we got to take wins from the non-divisional teams when we can, and like make a lot of hay against that, and then try to scrap against, figure out the guys in the division. We've done well with Cardinals. I don't think we've really played the Cubs this year.
Maybe one series.
Yeah, we beat the Cardinals series. I believe they trounced us in the first game, and then we won every other game.
Yes,
by like low scoring games.
Yes, they hit a really rough patch, and both of our teams played them during it.
And they scored like the Cardinals put up 14 in the first game, and then they didn't score like 3 the rest of the.
I think the same thing happened against the Braves.
But the Pirates got some guys coming back. Dickerson should be activated soon.
Yeah.
Jung Ho Gung got activated today and hit a home run in a loss, so it didn't really help there.
Yeah.
The Pirates are kind of jam-packed with players right now.
I was going to ask who you think they'll end up removing.
I don't know. It feels like Reynolds should be one of the odd men out, but he's
playing so
well. He's like a 17-game hit streak or something.
Can you send down a guy like that?
I don't know. I'm kind of, with a team like this, it seems like give all the young guys a shot and just see if you can catch fire with them and jettison all the old guys. I mean, I'm sure that's what the Pirates have been doing for years.
Sure, sure.
But I don't really care. I don't really care to see Gung play. I don't really care to see Lonnie Chisenhall, if he ever gets healthy. Give me the kids and the people who are going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it seems like the best chance for them in the long run is for all these kids to get playing time now instead of sitting behind Jung Ho Gung at shortstop being stupid. Even if he's going to hit a home run or two.
Right.
Didn't help today.
Right.
That's my Bucko rant.
Breakdown.
I mean, the fact that I can even talk that much about them at this point with specificity means I must care a little bit.
Hey, baby.
Yeah.
Welcome to Flavor Town.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Donkey's house.
We got him.
Yeah, I think he got me. Do you want to make a wager on this next series?
Oh, yeah. We did talk about
We'll have to come up with 3 outcomes.
Okay.
Okay. Because win or split. I guess if split, then nothing happens.
Then we shake hands and say, GG, no re.
Yeah. GG, no re?
Yeah. Good game, no replay.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
It was a thing that kids said at my high school.
Man, your high school sounds really cool.
Yeah, baby.
What do you want to bet? Do you want it to be like, I have to do something bet? Like, what if I say if the Pirates win, you have to read all of that Winston Churchill book that's on the shelf on the podcast.
A whole book? No. No. Maybe I would read like a passage from it and it would have to seem, you know, intriguing.
You have to do a dramatic reading of the Churchill book?
Not like from it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
An excerpt.
I don't feel like I get much pleasure out of that, though.
Then don't choose that. You act like that was my idea.
The only bets I want to make anymore are ones where even if I lose, I win.
Yeah, you try to do that all the time. We play rock, paper, scissors against one another, and you go, losers win. That means I still win.
No, but the outcome of, like, if we bet, like, you have to buy dinner.
Right.
Then it's like, yeah. I still get dinner.
Yeah, I've been doing that since college. I took a friend out for a gelato, and I would pay, and then the next time she would pay, so we always owed each other one.
Yeah, you're always buying each other gelatos.
And I went once by myself, and he was like, where's your friend?
That seems like an insult.
You know, I read it as I had a good laugh and texted my friend.
All right, well, we'll bet a meal.
Yeah. Having to cook it. Maybe.
Yeah, how about the loser has to cook the meal of the other person's choice, and
yes,
then that person can give it the review that it deserves.
On
do you
the,
like the
on
the
podcast?
Yeah, the Guy's Grocery Game style review on the podcast.
I love that.
It took us a while to get there, but it seems like it's going to be fun for us.
I'm glad we did it organically. It definitely was worth it.
Like all the ingredients our requests.
So, Eric, in honor of first the Cubs signing Craig Kimbrel to 3 years for $45-ish million, and then the Braves' subsequent signing of Dallas Keuchel for 1 year, $13 million, what is one of the most exciting purchases that you've ever made? And do you feel like its purchase lived up to that said excitement?
So, I think the best purchase I can make, I have a specific purchase I made in mind, and it feels appropriate to, like, the 1 year deal that Keuchel was on.
Okay.
Because I got a job at a Burger King when I was 15, basically to buy enough, to save up enough money so that I could buy a Marshall half stack guitar amp. It's like the big, like, if you see guys playing the big old amps on stage, it's got the head and then the big speaker cabinet. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very loud, big thing. And I literally worked at Burger King as like a 14 or 15 year old.
Wow.
To the point where I had enough money to buy it, and it was like $1,000, which as a 15 year old kid in the year,
that's a lot.
2000 is a lot of fucking, a lot of money. I mean, to have all that, to sit on that cash when I could have been taking all the juniors out to dates. No, that would have never happened. So when I got enough money, I bought it, and then I went into work and literally quit.
And
what was funny about it is I quit during a like 6 month interview or like 6 month review,
me.
And the manager, gave me a raise. And I was like, I'll be honest with you, I'm quitting at this point. And she was like, really? Why? I was like, oh, I was just working here to save up enough money to buy an amp. And she was like, well, we're going to give you a raise, and if we could keep you. I was like, nope.
Do not want to.
Gonna
go play guitar.
Yeah, I was going to make all my money with that amp, and it did live up to the expectations. I don't have it anymore, unfortunately, but I don't have a lifestyle that requires a half stack. Not that I ever did, but it would be a giant piece of furniture that we wouldn't want to haul around, and I would never play because it's too loud. But I used it in my high school band. We recorded stuff with it. We gigged around with it. I'd load it up in my Escort, and I could, and like, we'd go play shows, and people would use my amp because they're like, oh, we'll just use that. Like,
nice.
It made me feel cool.
Legit. Yeah.
and it sounded great. That's my Dallas Keuchel. What's yours?
The best example I could really think of isn't from my childhood. It's from shortly after I moved to Chicago. I had moved up with my childhood twin bed. It was like a very bad small bed.
Yeah.
And I was tired of it. So I kept my roommate at the time would pay me in cash, and I found a place in
for
Chicago
what?
For rent.
Oh.
I wrote the rent check,
right,
and my roommate
right.
would pay me in cash. And I kept socking away parts of that over the course of like a the first 6 months of us living in that apartment or something like that, and found this mattress place that if you paid in cash, they would give it to you at like 10% off or something insane like that. So, and there was like some other deal that if you mentioned that you saw if, that you went there because they were recommended on Yelp, you got an additional like percentage off, and then they like threw in free delivery or something like that.
Wow.
So I was like, I sought out a bargain. I went to the store. I chose my bed. I told them when to deliver it, and they, and then I had a bigger bed, and I was like, here you are, sir. We have completed business. Thank you for my new bed.
I like how both of these stories have an element of like, we had to wait to get the thing we wanted. The same way that the Braves had to like wait for the draft to be over.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the patience it takes. And that bed was obviously lived up to its expectations.
Yes. It was so much bigger. It was so nice. It was like, the mattress itself was a higher quality. We had it until we moved here.
Yeah.
That was the bed we were still sleeping on.
Yeah.
So.
It, I mean, it was time for it to go.
It was
It lived
time.
Its life.
It did.
Yeah. It retired.
You know, it was like 6 or 7 years. If we had him and he served great time for 6 or 7 years, we'd be like, wow, that original investment was worth it.
The mattress isn't a Hall of Famer, but it could go in our Ring of Honor. You know?
Certainly.
Like, we're not going to retire the number.
Yeah. You know, you probably feel the same way about the amp.
Yeah. If I would have, I just didn't have, it was too
you
big.
You didn't have a reason to keep it.
I was eating with my eyes.
You,
it was
you
too much.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. I flipped it for something else at some point.
Yeah.
Something
that made more sense for your team at the time.
Yeah. Exactly. You got,
that's
we need to get
what
younger.
We did too.
We need to get a little younger.
Yeah.
Are we actually just like,
are our lives baseball teams? Eric, what's the inside scoop?
I think the thing I'm really into right now is something I was into a while ago, but then I just picked up again and I can't put it down. And you would probably agree with me that Tetris 99 for the Nintendo Switch is addicting fun.
I love it.
It's just online battle royale style Tetris where you play with 99 other contestants. Part of me always thinks that like that's not, they're not all real people. Like some of them have to be bots or something. But maybe they are, maybe they're not. But you just play Tetris and you dump blocks on each other and you try to just last the longest. And I won recently today, which is my second win all time.
And it matches my two all-time
Your two all-time wins. And Tetris is just such a simple, satisfying game that it's like almost meditative. Like it's calming.
Agree. Yeah.
Like you just like become that like put blocks into place.
You're arranging your anxiety.
Yeah, and like the rest of the world kind of like falls away while you're just like all that matters is lines.
Yeah,
like,
everything's gonna be fixed if we just keep building a wall.
Yeah, it's like there might be a hole here, but just like pave over it, and then I see what you were doing. Well, you don't want to build a wall because then it'll disappear.
Oh, sure. Right. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
The problem.
So this actually makes sense, yes.
I was trying to say something about, like, how if you make a mistake, you can build over it, and then eventually the way you've repaired your mistake leads to the solution of actually filling in the mistake in the first place.
Sure.
But no,
that's more profound.
I don't know if it's profound. It's just it's just different words. You know,
Tetris 99 for it's free if you're
free
Nintendo Plus member.
Yeah, it's free to play, baby.
Yeah,
play it.
Play it.
Hey,
play it.